your Bibles tonight and turn to Joshua chapter 23 as we continue our study through the book. Joshua 23, let me get this stuff out of the way. I've entitled tonight's study, Finishing Strong. If you haven't seen this guy yet on YouTube, you need to look him up. I'm trying to remember his last name. It's hard to look him up if you don't know his last name. But you can even just type into YouTube, fastest 100 meters high school ever, and it'll bring this guy up. He's a junior in high school, and he ran a 9.98 100 meter. But the greatest part is to watch him on the 4x400 meter relay, the anchor leg. Seven of the top 12 teams in America were in the state 6A relay championships in Texas. And so they're all were class teams. And there was one team that has not only the state record, but the national record that was going to be the team to beat. And anyway, they were ahead by probably, I would say, 40 yards on the last, when he finally got the baton. And you should have seen him coming around the back stretch, and you could just see the lead start going like this. And by the time he made the curve, he was gone. And they won the state championship and set the record and all that kind of stuff. And he ran a 43 400 meter. I mean, this kid's amazing. So that's where I got the title for this, Finishing Strong, because he knows how to finish strong. When he starts out, he's fast, but I mean, he finishes strong. And, when we went through that study on Caleb, it was almost like the same thing. When he got into the promised land and they did all the fighting that they needed to do, and it got time for divvying up land and all that kind of stuff, Caleb, at the age of 80 years old, says, "Give me that big mountain over there where the giants live. That's the one I want right there." You know, he was going to finish strong, and he did. So now we get to hear the words of Joshua as he's getting towards the end of his life. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. "After a long time had passed, and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then old and well advanced in years, summoned all of Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, 'I am old and well advanced in years. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between Jordan and the Great Sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will drive them out of your way. He will push them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your back and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not Not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. But just as every good promise of the Lord your God has come true, so the Lord will bring on you all the evil He has threatened until He has destroyed you from this good land He has given you. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which He commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land that He's given you. Now, I'm sure that those words probably fell upon the ears of listeners and those who weren't listening so well. Because it's fairly obvious in what happens after Joshua dies that Israel begins to walk down the path that they didn't need to be walking down. Now, Saul made the first king. Everybody loved Saul because he stood heads, shoulders above everybody else, and he looked like the wise choice, and he was a great military leader, and you know, we want a king. And so God gave him what they wanted. He wanted to be the king, but they wanted a person to be king. And so He gave them Saul. And Saul led them in many ways away from God. But then He gave them David, who led them back into the right direction. And during the reign of David, many things were accomplished in the promised land. And then Solomon, at the beginning of his reign, started out fairly well, but he kind of fell off the tracks a little bit down the way. And then Solomon had a great legacy through Rehoboam. Not. And the next 5 to 6 kings were just worse. And every chapter of 1 Kings we're going through in Sunday school right now, it says, and this king did worse than any of the kings before him. And they end up with Ahab and Jezebel. Now you can imagine how far they had gone down the slippery slope. Joshua is telling them right now, if you'll just keep your eyes fixed on God, if you'll just keep His word, if you will just do what He's called you to do, if you will finish the job that He's given you, if you will finish strong, then He will bless this nation abundantly and He'll always be there to protect us and be with us. Well, the first thing that he mentions in the first 5 verses of chapter 23 is we need to remember how God has worked among us. You know, I think a lot of times we don't often do that. Think about what God has done for us. I mean, you know, we get blessed and we go, wow, that was awesome, and we move forward and then we forget. In fact, it's sometimes good to have written down things that God has done in your life. Joshua said, God keeps His word. The people had seen this. He said, you know, He told us that if we come into this land, He would give us this land. That we would fight against all these great big armies and He would give us victory. And that's exactly what He's done. The people had seen this all along, even from their extraction from Egypt. He had parted the Red Sea. He had fed them every day with manna from heaven. He had led them with His presence by the pillar of fire and by the pillar of a cloud. He had parted the flooded Jordan River at flood stage. He had brought down the walls of Jericho. I mean, every single thing all along the way, God was showing them His love and power for them. Because God keeps His word. And when they followed Him, He did what He was going to do. And God's people could testify. You know, I think sometimes we don't testify enough to what God's done for us. I went to a black church, is what they used to call them, in the Texas when I first moved to Waco to go to Baylor. And one of my friends on the football team was black, and he said, man, there's a great church I want to take you to Sunday. I said, all right. And so, man, I went there, and about 3.5 hours later, we were still in church. And we were having a good time. And they were testifying. And the pastor would be, he'd be talking, and he said, "Can I get a witness?" And somebody would stand up and testify about what God had done in their life. You know what, folks? It's okay to do that. In fact, we ought to be doing that. They knew that God had come through for them. They knew that He had provided for them. They had passed down the testimony through the generations. In fact, that was what they had. The word of mouth, the teaching was always in the family itself, from the fathers to the children, giving them the word of God. So they remembered how God had worked. Secondly, he says you need to obey God's word. Now, there's a difference here between knowing God's word and obeying God's word, right? It's kind of like the guy that was driving down the highway going 75 and he got pulled over. And the highway patrolman says, "Sir, did you know that the speed limit here is 65? And he goes, "Yeah." He says, "Well, you are going 75. I'm going to give you a ticket." And he goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'll try not to go fast again." He says, "No, you knew it was 65, and you chose to go 75. See, we make choices all the time. And if we really know and then choose not to do, that's worse than not even knowing. Obey God's word. They knew God's word. And Joshua says, you need to be devoted to His word. Since God has done so much for us, He deserves our faithful obedience. When you think about it, how much has God done for you? I know He's done so much for me. He deserves my faithful obedience. And God's Word is the very mind of God Himself. When God speaks, He's speaking from who He is. And so the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch as it was called back then, everything that God wanted His people to know, He had spoken to Moses for him to write it down and for the people to be able to follow. He had laid out everything that we need to know in His Word. We need to be devoted to His Word. And we don't need to be infected by the world. Now, this time of year, it's pretty easy to not be thinking about people infecting other people with certain things. Yeah. So anyway. But you know what? Sin is so easily transmitted. Not like we don't already have it in our life anyway, but when we see other people doing it, or when people encourage us to do it, or the evil one even tempts us to do it, we have a choice. We have to decide, am I going to follow God or follow my own heart? Somebody once said it, we're in the world but not of the world. People should know that we're changed and different and transformed. People should know that. We should know that. We should know that. How foolish. Now, think about this. How foolish would it be to gain victory through our God and then submit ourselves to the gods of this world? How foolish would that be? And yet, that's exactly what we do when we choose other things over God. Self, selfish desires, other people, other things, whatever it is, the things that we choose to serve become our gods. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, Paul writes to the church at Corinth and says, "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you." In other words, he's saying, we need to be different. We need to be separate from this world. Not that we don't talk to people who aren't saved. Not that we, of course we are supposed to be doing that. In fact, that's God's commission for us. But we need to be different. You see, if you do everything that a lost person does, what are they going to think about you? That you're lost. And then when you try to tell them about Jesus, they're not going to listen to you because you're just like them. In fact, many times in trying to share the gospel with people, I hear the excuse And I think that's partially what it is. Yeah, well, I know somebody that goes to your church and they're the biggest hypocrite I've ever known. And I said, well, you know what? I'd rather go to church with a hypocrite than die and go to hell with them. The fact is that God has called us to be different. He's called us to be changed and transformed. And so Joshua was encouraging them to stand firm and be different and be the people of God in the midst of a world that doesn't really love Him, doesn't really care about Him. Thirdly, in verses 8 through 10, he encourages them that in fact, I want to read this passage here, this part. It says this, "But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now." That word "hold fast" literally is the Hebrew word that's also in Genesis chapter 2 referring to marriage. And it's the passage that says a husband should leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The word "cleave" there is literally this word. And it carries the context of separating from other things that distract us and focusing on something specific. And in this case, Joshua says, we are to hold fast to God. And don't be distracted by the other people. Don't be distracted by those who worship these little g gods. Don't be distracted by what the world says. But we need to be focusing on God Himself. It's like that statement, hold on for dear life. Don't look to other things to fulfill you. Don't look to other things to fill you up, because they never will. Only Him and Him alone will do that. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 says it like this. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, people are watching us. They are. Because I guarantee you, if you mess up one time, they'll let you know about it. And they'll even tell you, well, Christians aren't supposed to do that. They even know what Christians are supposed to do and not supposed to do. They do. All right? We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off what? Everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In the very same way, Joshua is saying, listen, keep your eyes fixed on God. You start looking around at the things around you and desiring the things of this world, and your heart starts having longings for the things of this world rather than longing for Him, then you're going to find yourself off the track quickly and in a place where you don't want to be. Hold on to God for life, and hold on to God for the long haul. You see, not just when it's easy, because that's easy, right? You know, it's easy to hold on to God when we're here together and encouraging each other and worshiping God and reading His Word. It's easy to do it here. But when you're out in the world and you're working around people who don't know God and people who are using His name in the wrong way and all the other things that are in the temptations of this world, it's hard. But you got to hold on for the long haul. Not just for your own convenience, by the way, but for His will and way to come to pass. You see, it is by being consistent, it's by being obedient that people will see that God is real. Do not let go of the hand that will save and lead and comfort. I remember when our little boy, or when our son was a little boy, we had this rule that when we got out of the car at a big parking area or a parking lot or a huge store or whatever else, because we lived in Houston, that he had to hold our hand till we got in the store. And they get to a point, an age, where they think, I don't need to do that anymore, right? They become very self-reliant. And Chris had a will of his own. I'll just put it that way, a very strong-willed child. And I remember one day we got out at Walmart in Houston, and we were in this huge parking lot, and there were cars everywhere. And I said, "Grab my hand." And he goes, "No, I want to grab Mom's hand." But he didn't go grab Mom's hand. He just took off. And the next time we went, he held everybody's hand because it was different. I'll just put it that way. But you know what? We've got to understand that God wants to lead us. He doesn't want to just wind us up and set us out there and go wherever you want to go. That's not how God works. God wants to lead us in every step that we need to be going. And when you do that, when you follow Him, when you abide in Him, when you live in His presence, it's so much better than when you try to go it on your own. Hold on to God. In the verses 11 through 13, he says to them, "So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away and you ally yourself with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your back, thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you." Joshua says, be very careful. That word careful in the Hebrew text means, listen, give great heed to what I'm saying. It's like when your mom used to grab your face and go, "Now look at me." And she would call you by all three of your names. You knew then she was serious. Joshua says, God's serious about this, folks. Would you consider yourself to be a careful person or a careless person? Are you careful to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength? Are you careful to spend time in His Word every day? Are you careful to, as you're going through the day, keep that channel open between you and God so that you can be, like Paul says, praying without ceasing to Him? Careful to love God. Because when you truly love Him, you will obey Him. That's what Jesus said. Listen, you are to obey. That's how you show God that you love Him, is by your obedience. Be careful when you walk in. And when you're careful and when you spend time in His presence and follow Him and what He's saying as He is leading and being obedient, you will begin to then walk in His ways. In other words, people will notice and recognize and understand that that's not you anymore. It's something different in you. It's something that's special in you. It's Jesus in you. And you will begin to cleave to Him. You will hang on. I was watching this special one night about monkeys. And it was crazy. It was howler monkeys. Have you ever seen those? They're pretty fairly large monkeys, and they howl. When they yell, they more likely yell than howl. But anyway, when they yell, you can hear them for up to 2 miles away. And they go swinging through these trees like there is no problem at all. I mean, you talk about monkey bars, they could do it. But on their backs, they would have their little monkeys hanging on, and they are hanging on. You could just see them. You know, they are hanging on for dear life. That's what God says. Hang on to me. Hold on to me. Be careful. And then He makes another statement right after that. Be very careful. In other words, He puts some extra emphasis on it. The emphasis is that we have to be very careful. You know, it's not like one of these things of, I'll try to do better. Hopefully it'll work out okay. Maybe I'll try reading God's Word a little more. Maybe I'll squeeze in a little extra prayer time. No. Joshua said, be very careful. In other words, be diligent, persistent, tireless. I think we are the opposite many times. We are tired and we're not very persistent and we're not very diligent. But Joshua says, never give up. Never let your guard down. Continue to keep your eyes fixed on the Lord and on His Word and what He has in store for you. And then in the last three verses, 14 through 16, he says, now, and I'm just telling you this ahead of time, he says, if you choose to not do what I'm saying, you need to know what's going to happen. Now, if you as a parent lay out a boundary for your child and you say, if you do this, you can know that this is what's going to happen to you. And then there's many parents that go, if you cross this line, this is going to be your punishment. And then they cross the line and they go, well, the next time you cross that line, no. Joshua says, just know this. You need to know it up front. You need to know what the consequences are. Because why? God does always keep His Word. And He's not a parent that's wishy-washy. And the reason is because God always blesses obedience and He disciplines disobedience. You see, when we obey God, He blesses us. Because it's always in the right place. We're always doing the right thing. We're always understanding His presence. But when we choose to go our own way, we can always know that discipline is coming. Because sin always has consequences. It does. Now the people that don't have Christ in them, their sin, the Scripture says the wages of their sin is death. But for those of us that know Christ, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin, though itself, always has consequences. Although we may ask for forgiveness, be cleansed of that sin and made right with God again in our spiritual walk, there are always consequences that remain. And you can go through Scripture and see that over and over again. One of the greatest examples was David himself, the man after God's own heart, but he chose to sin with Bathsheba. He chose to sin with Bathsheba's husband and have him killed. He made choices to sin. Now, when he got right with God, and you read through Psalm 51, and you see, as he calls out to God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. That's exactly what God did. But there was still consequences for his sin. The child that was born through Bathsheba died. He had a legacy after himself of sons that did the same kind of things that he did. Sin, consequences of sin continues on. Being a Christian is not a free pass to sin. Joshua says, prepare for the consequences because God keeps His Word. And God will bring discipline to His children. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. Because the Lord disciplines the one He loves, He chastens everyone He accepts as His son. God does that because He loves us. Now, you've all heard a parent say to a child, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. My mom used to tell me that right before she beat me. And I always wanted to say, well, Mom, if it's going to hurt you so bad, just don't do it. You know? But the fact is, as a parent, you understand that. As a child, you don't. You need to understand that God will discipline His children because He loves them. God's discipline is just as faithful as His blessings. You see, God blesses us as His children. But He will also discipline His children when they choose to go the wrong way. We get to choose which we want. Do I want to be blessed or do I want to be disciplined? I get to choose. We choose what we want by what we do. Joshua is trying to give them a great warning. by telling them, if you'll just do what God has said, you will be blessed. And no one will be able to stand against you. But if you choose to go down the other road, know that the hand of God will be withdrawn from you and you will receive the discipline that you deserve. It's a straightforward word for all of us, because even though we're not trying to push people out of our vicinity and try to take over a nation and that kind of stuff physically, we are still in spiritual warfare. And there are people all around us who are not the enemy. Satan's the enemy. They're the prize. But there are people all around us that don't have the same understanding about God. And they won't know that until someone tells them. And is an example for them and shows them the love of God. And that's what God has called us to do. And that's what Joshua commands his people to do. But he says, just know, if you choose not to do those things and to go your own way, that God also has to keep His word. Because that's what God does.